Hello and welcome to the World Transformation Movement's Freedom Essay Series. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape and this is Freedom Essay 11. The difficulty of reading about the human condition, which Plato predicted, and the solution, by Jeremy Griffith, 2018. In The Great Guilt That Causes the Deaf Effect, and in the previous video in this introductory series, video or Freedom Essay 10, Jeremy Griffith described humans' historic fear of the human condition and resulting inability to take in or hear what is being said on the subject. We suffer from a deaf effect to what is being presented, with the tragic consequence being that we miss out on the most precious of all gifts for humans of the understanding that liberates and transforms us all from the horror of our species psychosis. The purpose then of this presentation is to forewarn listeners or viewers or readers of this problem and show how to overcome it. This presentation also appears as video 11 in the main videos towards the top of our homepage at www.humancondition.com. So here's Jeremy.
You must be sick of me saying hello again, so I'll just say hello. In the previous video and essay, which was number 10, I described humans' historic fear of the human condition as being so great that almost everyone has had no choice but to determinedly avoid thinking about the subject. Now, the very serious problem with this historic fear and avoidance is that now that understanding of the human condition has at last been found and made safe to confront, the mind of almost everyone is subconsciously too afraid to go near the subject and discover that this previously terrifying realm has at last been made safe to confront and understand. I mean, as the saying goes, once bitten, twice shy. So yes, as I warned in the first video of this series, the tragedy is that while the holy grail of humanity's heroic journey of conscious thought and inquiry has been to find the all-redeeming and transforming understanding of our species fallen, soul corrupted, innocence destroyed, Garden of Eden abandoned, seemingly horrifically flawed, angry, egocentric and alienated human condition, virtually every human finds reading the presentation of it impossible. Now, I should mention that Freedom Essay 21 explains how our distant ape ancestors came to live in a completely cooperative and loving state of innocence, the instinctive memory of which is our moral soul. Yeah, so as soon as discussion of the human condition begins, the mind of almost everyone becomes subconsciously alert to the fact that they are being taken into what has been a completely off-limits realm. And consequently, it starts blocking out what is being said. Their mind finds it difficult taking in or hearing what is being said. It suffers from a deaf effect to what is being presented, with the tragic consequences being that they don't discover the understanding that liberates and transforms them from the horror of the human condition. I mean, the situation is akin to someone who suffers from a dreadful fear of snakes being given a book that will cure them of their problem. But since the cure in the book unavoidably involves discussion of snakes, as soon as they try to read the book, their fear stops them from being able to do so, and so they miss out on being cured. As a way of re-emphasizing the extent of humans' fear of the human condition, there is a poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins titled No Worse There Is None. That is, as the title suggests, describes just how unbearable the depression from thinking about the issue of the human condition has historically been. I mean, there really has been nothing worse than that depression. In particular, the poem contains the lines, the mind has mountains, cliffs of fall, frightful sheer, no man fathomed. Hopkins was right. For nearly all humans, whenever they dare to scale the mountains of their mind and enter the cold, sharp, icy world above the snow line of what they find bearable to think about, and begin to dwell on the subject of the human condition, they risk falling down frightful, sheer cliffs of unbearable self-confrontation and depression. The great psychoanalyst Carl Jung wasn't exaggerating the depressing effects of engaging with the human condition when he wrote, when our shadow, which is the brutally competitive and aggressive darker aspects of our corrupted condition, appears, it is quite within the bounds of possibility for a man to recognize the relative evil of his nature, but it is a rare and shattering experience for him to gaze into the face of absolute evil. Yeah, the face of absolute evil Jung refers to is the shattering possibility that we humans really are just a cancerous blight on this planet. Evil beings that for no apparent reason willfully destroyed our species' original Garden of Eden state of innocence, harmony and togetherness, a species that seemingly went mad and took itself from utopia to dystopia. Yes, the issue of our soul corrupted, good and evil conflicted human condition has been such a fearful subject that until now it hasn't been fathomed. The wonderfully redeeming and transforming understanding of it hasn't been available. As I explained in video and essay 3 and 4, the essential problem was that science had to find understanding of the difference in the way genes and nerves process information before it would be possible to explain the human condition. And the tragic consequences of this situation being that the human race has had to live for some 2 million years without any possibility of finding the fabulously reconciling and rehabilitating understanding. And without that vital understanding, trying to confront the subject has only ever led to sheer cliffs of fall of frightful depression. As I briefly mentioned in the previous video on essay number 10, and is much more fully explained in Freedom Essay 30, what 12 to 15-year-old adolescents have had to go through trying to understand the human condition without the true explanation for it has been so excruciating, I mean, indeed suicidally depressing, that virtually every adolescent eventually learned they had no choice but to resign themselves to living a life of determined denial of the whole subject. So again, the very serious problem that emerges now that the wonderful, relieving understanding of the human condition has last been found is that this terrible experience that virtually everyone went through when they were adolescents means that virtually everyone is subconsciously too fearful of the subject of the human condition to be able to effectively read analysis of it and discover that the mountains of our mind have at last been fathomed and that they can now be free of the human condition. There has been an elephant in our living rooms, a massively important issue, in fact, the most fundamental and important of all issues, yet the one issue we couldn't look at. And we can now see what that suspected elephant actually was, namely the human condition. Christ said, "The truth will set you free," and Carl Jung was forever saying that wholeness for humans depends on the ability to own our own shadow. But of course, the problem is almost no one is able to access this all-explaining and all-important truth about the dark shadow of our condition that sets us free and makes us whole. Yeah, the reality is that the problem of the deaf effect is typically so great that unless readers are forewarned of the problem and shown how to overcome it, which is the purpose of this presentation, almost all will find reading about the human condition impossible. And so we'll miss out on the most precious of all gifts for humans of their liberation from the human condition.
Examples of the deaf effect.
The following are some typical responses from people who have tried to read my books about the human condition. When I first read this material, all I saw were a lot of black marks on white paper. And reading this is like reading another language. You know it's English. You can understand the words, but the concepts are so basic and so different that they're almost incomprehensible. It's a paradigm shift of a read. And this stuff is so head-on, it can be crippling, which initially at least can make it very hard to get behind what's being said and access the profundity of where it's coming from. And at first I found this information difficult to absorb. In fact, my wife and I would sit in bed and read a page together and then reread it a number of times, but still it we couldn't understand what was being written there and ended up thinking it must be due to poor expression.
Unaware of our psychological denial of the human condition, we blame the presentation.
As the last response indicates, a consequence of being unaware that this resistance and blockout is occurring in the reader's mind, because when a person is in denial of something, they aren't aware that they are in denial, since obviously if they were, they wouldn't be in denial of it, is that they naturally blame the inaccessibility of what's being put forward on flaws in the presentation. They think it is, as readers of my books have so often said, badly written, impenetrably dense, disjointed, confusingly worded, too intellectual for me to understand. It takes time to get used to Jeremy's strange way of writing. It's long-winded, unnecessarily repetitive of vague points, desperately needs editing, and even lacking in any substance and meaning. I mean, frustrated readers have gone so far as to request an executive summary, so I have some idea of what it is you're trying to say. Contrast these responses with a reader of Freedom who's overcome the deaf effect. Wonderful book, full of so much wisdom, and yet the author was able to write in such a way that I think a middle school student or a high school dropout or anybody that can read at any level would be able to understand it. Or in other words, it's not full of language written just for college graduates.
Plato predicted the deaf effect.
To help evidence just how real the problem of the deaf effect is, the following has to be the best analogy and description of human's fear of the human condition and the deaf effect it causes that has ever been given. It's from that greatest of all philosophers, Plato, way back in the golden age of Greece, some 360 years before Christ. As I mentioned in the fourth video and essay, the greatness of Plato as a philosopher, philosophy being the study of the truths underlying all reality, was attested to by Alfred North Whitehead himself, one of the most highly regarded philosophers of the 20th century, when he described the history of philosophy as being merely a series of footnotes to Plato. So what was Plato's marvelously descriptive analogy of humans' extreme fear of the human condition? And what importance did he place on the resulting difficulty of the deaf effect in his most profound contribution to the study of the truths underlying all reality? Well, Plato's most acclaimed work is the book The Republic. And the central focus of The Republic is our human condition. And most revealingly, in describing our human condition, Plato metaphorically depicted humans as having to live a long way underground in a cave, hiding from the painful issue of the imperfections of human life. Those imperfections being the issue of our human condition. The issue of why, when the ideals are to be cooperative and loving, are we humans so competitive, aggressive, and aggressive? So the greatest of philosophers recognise that the central problem in understanding the reality of our behaviour is our fear of the human condition. This is what Plato wrote so long ago, but it remains oh so true. I want you to picture the enlightenment or ignorance of our human conditions. That's about the earliest description I've seen of the term human condition. I want you to picture the enlightenment or ignorance of our human condition somewhat as follows. Imagine an underground chamber like a cave with an entrance open to the daylight and running a long way underground. In this chamber are men who have been prisoners there. Plato described how the cave exit is blocked by a fire that corresponds to the power of the sun, which the cave prisoners have to hide from because its searing, painful light would make visible the unbearably depressing issue of the imperfections of human life. And fearing such self-confrontation, the cave prisoners have to take refuge a long way underground in the dark cave, where there are only some shadows thrown by the fire that represent a mere illusion of the real world outside the cave. Yeah, the allegory makes clear that while the sun makes the things we see visible, such that without it we can only see dimly and appear to be almost blind, having to hide in the cave of illusion and endure almost blind alienation has been infinitely preferable to facing the painful issue of our seemingly imperfect human condition. Now, With regard to the problem of the death effect response that the cave prisoners would have to reading and or hearing about the human condition, Plato then described what occurs when, as summarised in the Encarta encyclopedia, someone escapes from the cave into the light of day and sees for the first time the real world and returns to the cave to help the prisoners escape into the sun-filled setting outside the cave, which symbolises the transition to the real world, which is the proper object of knowledge. That's Encarta. Now, Plato predicted that when this eventually happened, it would hurt the cave prisoner's eyes and he would turn back and take refuge in the things which he could see. In other words, take refuge in all the dishonest, illusionary explanations of the human behaviour that become accustomed to from human condition avoiding mechanistic science, as I describe in Freedom Essay 14. So he said that would hurt his eyes and he would turn back and take refuge in things which he could see, which you would think are really far clearer than those things that are being shown to him now. And if he were, and it says, and he said, if he, the cave prisoner, were forcibly dragged up the steep and rocky ascent out of the cave of denial and not let go till he had been dragged out into the sunlight, in other words, shown the truthful, real description of the human, explanation of the human condition, the process would be a painful one to which he would much object. And when he emerged into the light, his eyes would be so overwhelmed by the brightness of it that he wouldn't be able to see a single one of the things he was now told were real. Significantly, Plato then added, certainly not at first, because he would need to grow accustomed to the light before he could see things in the world outside the cave. So again, in this central and main insight into the truths underlying all reality of our human condition, the greatest of all philosophers warned that when we first start reading about what the human condition really is, we wouldn't be able to see a single one of the things we're now told were real. I emphasised really is because many people refer to and even claim to explain the human condition without engaging with what it really is, namely the issue of our horrendously psychologically upset, angry, egocentric and alienated lives. Again, all this dishonest biology is described in Freedom Essay 14. Now, I might mention that Plato went on to also warn that when understanding of the human condition eventually arrived, it would not only cause the death effect, it would also cause an extremely defensive and angry reaction in some people. He wrote that some of the cave prisoners would say that that's the person who tries to, attempts to bring understanding of the human condition, visit to the upper world had ruined his sight. Yeah, they would treat him as mad. And that the ascent out of the cave was not worth even attempting. And if anyone tried to release them and lead them up out of the cave, they would kill him if they could lay hands on him. As I describe in Freedom Essay 56 and in Chapter 6.12 of my book Freedom, we in the World Transformation Movement have endured years of this vicious try to kill him type persecution, which you can also read a lot more about at this point in the transcript of this presentation. I haven't included in this video because I didn't want the video to be too long. Returning to the problem of the death effect, the rock and roll band U2's 1992 song Staring at the Sun contains these lyrics that totally reinforce what Plato said about the death effect. It's been a long, hot summer. Let's get undercover. Don't try too hard to think. Don't think at all. I'm not the only one staring at the sun, afraid of what you'd find if you take a look inside. Not just deaf and dumb. I'm staring at the sun, not the only one who's happy to go blind. So, yeah, it's very clear for almost everyone, the death effect will be a very significant problem when trying to read the fully accountable and thus true analysis of the human condition, which means everyone does very much need to be forewarned of and shown how to overcome the death effect.
The extent of the potential tragedy of the situation.
Before presenting the various options for overcoming the death effect, I want to spell out just how potentially tragic the situation is, where the all-relieving understanding of the human condition has at last been found, but virtually no one can access it. The truth is, the potential tragedy of the situation really could not be greater. To employ the wonderful imagery of Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of finding the reconciling understanding of the human condition, he said that when that happens, allow the bells of freedom to ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, because all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, can join hands and sing, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Yes, Dr. King, but the tragedy is virtually no one can hear the bells heralding our species' freedom. The following extraordinarily honest quotes, and more of them are included in the transcript essay version of this video, make it very clear that the great hope, faith, and trust of the whole human race has been that one day the all-redeeming and all-transforming human race-saving understanding of the human condition will be found. And further, they reveal how desperately needed that understanding is right now on Earth, and therefore just how great this potential tragedy is, where the understanding of the human condition that has been sought and pleaded for throughout history has finally been found, but will be of absolutely no consequence if the death effect can't be overcome. Firstly, the clinical psychologist Maureen O'Hara stressed the urgent need for the redeeming understanding of the human condition when she said that humanity is either standing on the brink of a quantum leap in human psychological capabilities or heading for a global nervous breakdown. Yes, psychologist Carl Jung similarly recognized that man is everywhere dangerously unaware of himself. We really know nothing about the nature of man, and unless we hurry to get to know ourselves, we're in dangerous trouble. And the great Australian educator, Sir James Darling, who incidentally I was fortunate enough to have as my headmaster when I attended Geelong Grammar School, a school of such renown that Prince Charles attended it, said, "The time is past for help, which is only a band-aid. It's time for the radical thinking and for a solution on the grand scale." Yeah, the human race is absolutely desperately needed to find the solution on the grand scale. So to have finally found that most precious of all insights and then not be able to discover that it has been found because, as Plato predicted, people aren't able to see a single one of the things they're now told are real, does have the potential to be the most horrendous tragedy in the history of the planet Earth. Freedom Essay 55 provides an analysis of the very serious endgame situation that humanity has now entered, and by so doing further spells out the potential incredible tragedy posed by the death effect.
So, how can the death effect be overcome?
The crucial question then is, how are resigned adults to overcome the death effect sufficiently to be able to effectively read freedom and access the all-relieving human race-saving understanding of the human condition? Now, Plato indicated the answer when he said that in order to achieve the fabulous transition to the real world, which is the proper object of knowledge, the cave prisoner would need to grow accustomed to the light of the understanding of the imperfections of human life, which is the human condition. Over 40 years of experience presenting the understanding of the human condition that's contained in all my books has confirmed that to overcome the death effect, people do just need to grow accustomed to the light of the understanding. When Alvin Toffler wrote in his famous 1970 book, Future Shock, that the shattering stress and disorientation that we induce in individuals by subjecting them to too much change in too short a time, he was actually anticipating the immense shock that the arrival of understanding the human condition would inevitably bring. But again, as Plato said, the resigned cave prisoner just needs to grow accustomed to the light. Now, what my 40 years of experience has shown is that you have four options with this difficult-to-read understanding of the human condition, which I'll now list before going through each of them in detail. You can decide not to read the material and so miss out on your chance to be liberated from the human condition. You can tough it out by determinedly and doggedly forcing yourself to read the explanation. You can patiently get there by gradually reading and rereading, or watching and rewatching, or listening and relistening to the presentations of the explanation. Or finally, you can be assisted by having someone go through the explanation and its compassionate effectiveness in explaining human behavior with you. As I'll now describe, it's the last of these options that is by far the best way to overcome the deaf effect and access this all-transforming, world-saving understanding of the human condition.
Option one, you can decide not to read the material.
With regard to the first option of not reading or listening to this material, a few years ago, a university student said to his friends about one of my books, "Don't read that book because it's true." Now, while this comment seems nonsensical because surely everyone wants to find a book that's full of truth, it's actually logical because the human condition has been the most terrifying of subjects. And the real truth about humans hasn't been something people wanted to read about. What's wrong with this statement is it fails to communicate the fact that someone couldn't have written such a deeply confronting true book about the human condition and not have found the all-precious, redeeming and transforming understanding of it.
Option two, you can tough it out.
The second option of toughing it out by doggedly forcing yourself to read the explanation is well illustrated by this reader's determined approach. If it can be of any help to others in how to overcome the deaf effect, I will share with you my own personal approach. I took a step back and became removed from my own preconceived ideas and beliefs by metaphorically putting on a white lab coat and becoming a scientist overseeing the evolutionary journey of mankind. And from that detached perspective, it's not so shocking and painful. I had to depersonalize it. And in so doing, I managed to comprehend things in a more expanded and in-depth way rather than fearfully skimming the surface of things. I'm now embarking on my second read of the book as I find that there's so much more for me to assimilate. This book is not for the faint-hearted. It is for the courageous survivors of the greatest evolutionary journey undertaken by the human race. We emerge battered and bruised and in tatters, but it's now time to step forward with our newly illuminated light of true perception and heal our wounded selves and world. Yeah, that was courageous, but this reader was still feeling battered and bruised and in tatters, which shows that her technique wasn't an easy one, and that she's still not out in the clear and fully benefiting from the true perception she now has. So toughing it out is obviously not an easy way of overcoming the deaf effect.
Option three, you can patiently get there.
The third technique of patiently overcoming the deaf effect by persisting with reading or watching or listening to presentations to the explanation has been a reasonably effective strategy, but it still involves a struggle, as the following footage reveals. These are such good illustrations I gave in my 2022 presentation, The Shock of Change. I'm going to include them again here. The following is a good example of someone patiently rereading and re-listening to the explanation and overcoming the deaf effect. May Gibbs, the founder of the WTM Phoenix Center in Arizona, America, said, "I tried for months to get through the reading material, but my thought at the time was that it was super tedious and boring." Now, saying it was super tedious and boring is a typical deaf effect response. The subject of the human condition has historically been so unbearably confronting and depressing that most people's minds just don't want to engage with it. And so defensively and dismissively, in effect, say, "I'm not interested in what you're talking about. It's just super tedious and boring. Rubbish, meaningless rubbish as far as I'm concerned." Now, significantly, when May Gibbs persevered listening to and reading the information and eventually got through the deaf effect, she said, "I find it laughable now how deaf I was, because here I am today obsessing over the Freedom essays, videos and Facebook group posts. It has brought such peace to my life and I have a burning desire to get it to whoever will listen." Okay, and this is another comment about how perseverance overcomes the deaf effect. It's from Melinda Greenacre on the WTM's Facebook group. She writes, Hello, I'm a first-time poster. Something weird is happening that I thought I'd share. I first came across this book, Freedom, in 2017 when I downloaded the free version, but I couldn't get past the first few pages. Then, during the lockdown in 2020, I bought the paperback version for myself and my dad, but still couldn't get through the first couple of pages. It just didn't make any sense. I felt that the sentences were too long and rambling. Reading it made me tired. My mind would wander away every time, so I put it down again. But recently, in 2023, after seeing lots of WTM content pop up on social media, I started playing the main pinned interviews on the Facebook group in the morning as I was getting ready for work. A few tiny bits of information clicked into place. Nothing mind-blowing, but definitely a few aha moments. Today, I've been sitting at the bay waiting for my husband to finish a charity bike ride. I bought a coffee and thought it would be a good location to try reading the book again. In just over an hour, I've gone through 50 pages. I don't even remember why I found it so difficult. All of a sudden, it's making sense. I'm enjoying it. It's like I'm reading a different book.
Option 4. You can be assisted through the deaf effect.
Now this fourth option of being assisted through the deaf effect by having someone repeatedly go through the explanation showing how it compassionately and thus safely makes sense of every aspect of human behaviour is, as I said, by far the best way to overcome the deaf effect, as this online comment shows. When my brother first introduced me to A Species in Denial, which is my 2003 book, I read the whole book in 3 weeks and understood absolutely nothing. I said words to the effect that it is poorly written, explains nothing, and makes no sense. I remember saying stuff like, I'm not upset, I never resigned, I don't have an ego, I haven't been bad, and anyway, I don't really care or need this information. I have a great wife, nice home, my health, and generally love life. I'll make it regardless. Yeah, that comment is a classic example of Plato's prediction that they would say it's not even worth attempting. Then, after 12 months of listening to my brother, I thought I'd read the book again. Well, my God, wow, it was like I'd read a different book. Nearly every criticism I made about the book was incorrect. It was like I was blind the first time I read it. I couldn't believe it. My personal experience is that it's not easy to understand, accept, and apply the concept in the early stages without a bit of nurturing, support, and explanation from others. I'm lucky I had my brother who just kept chipping away. And now I'm free, and let me tell you, it's the best feeling in the world. Yeah, well, that assistance he got made all the difference. You might well be wondering how the Sydney World Transformation Movement Centre's pioneer base group of 50 founding members managed to overcome the deaf effect and discover the information transforming and world-saving importance. The answer is they were benefited by this assistance method. They attended a sequence of talks where I presented the Adam Stork analogy and then showed them in example after example how it was able to compassionately make sense of any and every aspect of human life, be it politics, religion, the relationship between men and women, and so on. Just how effective in eroding the deaf effect this method was is revealed by a comment that was frequently made after listening to a second or third introductory talk, which is, that was a much better presentation this time than last time, Jeremy. The explanations and descriptions were so much easier to follow. Now, the talks were virtually identical. What had dramatically improved was not the quality or content of the presentation, but the listener's ability to take in or hear what was being said. As I said, we can't be in denial of a subject and know we're in denial, because if we did, we wouldn't be in denial, obviously. So. It's very difficult at the time to appreciate that a denial in your mind has been eroded. We inevitably think that it must be the presentation that has improved. In these talks, while it was the accountability of the explanation that was holding the listener's interest, most significantly what was also happening was their fear of the issue of the human condition was being eroded. To have someone talk openly and freely about this absolutely forbidden subject of the human condition is psychologically immensely reassuring, because how could they be speaking so freely if the subject of the human condition hadn't been rendered benign, safe? And in effect, what was happening was that they were being taken into a room that subconsciously they were living in mortal fear of, and happily taken into every corner of it, showing how there was no longer anything to fear in any part of that previously terrifying room. I mean, certainly to begin with, their mind was in shock and they could hardly take in what was being there in the room analogy, see anything that's in the room, take in the colours of the walls or what furniture was there. But gradually their mind relaxed and could take in or hear and understand everything that was being explained, or in the room analogy, be able to sufficiently come out of shock to take in and see what's actually in the room. The human condition has been a terrifying subject, but if someone holds your hand, as it were, and reassures you that you have that the subject is now safe to look at, then it's possible to overcome that fear. The point is, if you have just read, watched, or listened to the explanation of the human condition, or are about to, then you will very likely benefit enormously from our free WTM Deaf Effect course that presents these introductory deaf effect eroding talks. Each of these talks involve me talking with either a single person or a group of people who, like yourself, are new to the information. And the benefit of me talking with people who are interactive is that what they say, or as the talks progress, will likely reflect your own thoughts. And that engagement and interaction will greatly help you to follow and connect with the discussion. Each talk has the same format. I asked the participant or the participants to nominate some questions they might like answered about human existence, which I then proceed to write down and set about answering using the explanation of the human condition we now have. They might ask, I don't accept that I've got any psychological upset in me, or that I feel guilty or anything, or that I'm alienated from some innocent soul in me, or that I need transforming. So why should I listen to this? Or why do some people hate and some people love Donald Trump? Or why do women typically have long hair and men short hair? Or why do we humans get so much enjoyment out of winning competitions? Or how is this going to stop wars and greed and selfishness? And how is it going to help the environment? Or why do people pray in church? And is God real? Whatever. Then I go through the Adam Stork analogy and show how it answers their questions. Basically, I talk about the explanation of the human condition and how it explains anything and everything over and over again. And at a certain point, what happens is that you will find that you can suddenly read about the human condition without encountering any of the problems you initially experienced. Like what occurred for the founding members, who often said after listening to a second or third introductory talk, the explanation and descriptions were so much easier to follow.
The fabulous reward when you overcome the deaf effect.
Plato gave this description of how relieved the cave prisoner would be to be free of his human condition, avoiding dishonest, dark, cave-dwelling, soul-dead existence, saying, "When the liberated prisoner thought of his first home and what passed for wisdom there and of his fellow prisoners, don't you think he would congratulate himself on his good fortune and be sorry for them?" Yeah, well, the following are some online comments about this immense good fortune of being able to access and at last understand the human condition. I know these are comments about a book I wrote, but we have the understanding now that explains that everyone is equally good and worthwhile, so it doesn't really matter who wrote what anymore, really. If Plato and Aristotle were alive and read Freedom, they would die happy men. We don't have to put up with not knowing anymore. Tears stream down my face. So overcome have I been by this book. It is the greatest book on the planet. No weight in the universe. In fact, it's the greatest anything in the universe. I don't care what question you have, this book will answer it. Here is the breakthrough biological explanation that proves, in capital letters, we are all in capital letters, very good. This to me is the most significant thing I have ever stumbled across. If it doesn't hit you right away, it will down the road. Gah, words are too limited for this. Here, have some love, brother. And finally, this book is why I'm alive enough to scribe to you. Joy and love to you all. So once you have benefited from the WTM Deaf Effect course, that's in Freedom Essay 13, you'll be astonished to discover that the seemingly impenetrable fog that reading about the human condition causes does begin to lift, and that what's being presented does begin to make extraordinarily accountable sense of human behaviour and frees you from the human condition forever. So everyone, join in the great awakening of the human race from having to live in a horrible cave of darkness and burst out in the most wonderful, warm, healing, loving, happy, light-filled life imaginable.
The WTM Deaf Effect Course.
In the next presentation, which is video or Freedom Essay 12, I give a one-hour introductory talk that summarises what has been explained so far in this series of presentations. Now, while this talk is not interactive, it is the initial talk to watch for eroding the deaf effect. And following that talk, our recommendation is that you watch the interactive talks that are presented in the WTM Deaf Effect course itself in Freedom Essay 13.
That was Jeremy Griffith. You've been listening to Freedom Essay 11, which you can read by clicking on the Read Essay button on your device or by going to the WTM homepage at www.humancondition.com, where all the essays and videos can be found. To learn more about a topic that was raised in this podcast, please go to the written version of the essay, because it includes references to other relevant Freedom Essays, as well as the sources of any quotes used. These essays were composed during 2017 and 2022 by Jeremy Griffith, Damon Isherwood, Fiona Cullen Ward, and Bronnie Fitzgerald at the Sydney WTM Centre. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape. Thanks for listening.